The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Greetings from the heartland of America. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we're so glad to have you in our humble bunker. We're really sorry we missed last night, but boy, do we have stuff to talk about tonight.
Yes. Kind of a time-compressed day yesterday in
Wednesdays
a number of ways.
Tend to be time-compressed anyway because you and I both are now in the choir.
Uh-huh.
And that doesn't meet until 7:30, but
prayer team at church.
One night a month, we go to this prayer team and ordinarily, it's a different night, but it was scheduled for this because of Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah. Normally, the last Wednesday. But
anyway, lots of stuff going on
in the world. So yes, we're gonna as the Chicago Cubs often do, we have to play catch up.
We do.
Well, yeah, because we
I like ketchup. I put it on my hamburger.
And your hash browns, which I still haven't figured out.
I know. Fried potatoes, onions, and yum.
Well,
and
my
eggs.
This is Thursday, November the 18th of 2010. And let's hit the ground running here.
First of all, I want to make sure that everybody is aware that we probably won't have a whole lot of PID radio next week because it is Thanksgiving week and Derek is heading out. He's going to be gone most of the week. So more than likely, we won't have anything next week.
Well, yeah, because I'm leaving Tuesday essentially after work.
Yeah.
And
so you won't be doing anything then. Now, are you going to have a show going up this weekend?
Yes. In fact, I did an interview last night with or Tuesday evening, rather, with Rabbi Michael Bug, who is a Messianic Jew, or completed Jew, however you prefer to say it. And he's got a book that's out, volume one of what will be a set on the Book of Revelation from the perspective of a Messianic Jew.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful show and informative.
Yeah. And then tomorrow night, 2 hours live on View from the Bunker at blogtalkradio.com/PID radio. First hour, we'll talk about globalism, economic, religious, societal transhumanism with Carl Teichrib. He's the chief editor of an intelligence magazine or newsletter called Forcing Change. And he recently attended the Mormon, a transhumanist conference sponsored by the Mormon Transhumanist Association, which is especially interesting given that we've been watching the Mormon-inspired Battlestar Galactica.
You know, you jumped right in there with me. I was about to say that very thing because you and I, the last, I'd say 4 or 5 nights, we have just been watching them back to back. Burning up the Roku. Doing it. In fact, that probably explains why the Roku was going a little wonky there for a while.
Yeah.
Interesting show, and watching the theology as it plays out is especially interesting to us.
Knowing where it leads, that
we've seen the end.
And watch through it again
and pick out
a lot of the memes. So there's that. And then in the second hour tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, William H. Kennedy, the author of Lucifer's Lodge, will talk about, pedophilia. And again, the spiritual impacts and implications of that. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Franklin Credit Union pedophile scandal because there were aspects of that that popped up again in, within the last 5 years.
And if you've been listening to Derek's show Sunday after Sunday and wondering, is he ever going to talk about anything else? Or actually, this is live on Friday night.
Right, yeah. That's tomorrow night.
Oh, my gosh, second hour. That's a packed 2 hours.
It is, yep.
And pedophilia, you know, you're hitting it hard, but you have to. You really have to because this is something that gets swept under that proverbial lumpy rug.
Yes, the lumpy rug. The rug that holds all the stuff that we want to pretend doesn't really happen in our society.
And it's a big rug.
It is. It is. So
I'm going to write a book someday called The Lumpy Rug.
That's a good one.
Well, there's stuff going on. Yesterday, if you are an Oprah fan, and I'm betting if you listen to this show, then the odds are you
probably
don't watch
not.
That.
Not often.
I don't
anyway,
watch
yeah.
Oprah, but I'll tell you what. I happened to watch about 5 minutes of it a few days ago, and she had a tease for the show she had on yesterday. And because of that, mm-hmm. I didn't watch the show. I just couldn't stomach it. Sorry. But I did go to her website, and there were links on there to the subject of her show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a healer. Imagine Oprah presenting a healer.
Uh-huh.
A healer called John of God. He's from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And he does these miraculous healings by channeling at least 30 dead doctors and saints, including Saint Ignatius de Loyola.
Oh, really? The founder of the Jesuit order?
Yeah.
The Society of Jesus. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a little surprising. Well, anyway, he does these special healings that have a psychic component to it.
Psychic surgeries and things?
Well, I don't know that I'd call it psychic surgery, but I'm saying, well, here's an example. There was a woman listed on Oprah's website, and we will link to this in the show notes, so you can go and take a look at mm-hmm. what her perspective is, the way she presented this, because she had a number of people, a journalist, a doctor, and a couple of other people who talked about their experiences in Brazil with John of God, going in as skeptics and coming back as converts.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. One woman talking about how she went in to see him twice. This was the journalist, and she was grieving for her lost father. He had passed away, and she wanted relief from this grief. And he just looked at her once and told her to go away. She came back, and he looked at her, and he said, "Go over into this room, and I want you to stay there for 3 hours." And
okay.
She did it, went in, and began essentially opening her mind,
mm-hmm.
meditating. And she said that she saw her dad and talked to him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a medium?
Well, he's channeling something.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Assuming that what he's doing is something more than just sleight of hand mm-hmm. and trickery.
We are seeing, and that's exactly how it's put in the article. We are seeing a spiritual component to many, many things that are coming up on the Oprah show.
Well,
and
sure. Yeah.
I wouldn't call them good spirits.
No, Eckhart Tolle, the one who's teaching the course on miracles, Williamson, I can't remember.
Marianne. Oh, you know, I'm sorry. Don't have yeah. it in front of me.
I'll have to look that up. But right. Even Dr. Oz, the guy that she has on as her.
Yes.
He is very much into, you know, aligning the chakras and balancing the chakras.
She essentially has been his sponsor. I mean, she
yeah.
literally bankrolled him.
Mm-hmm. And it is, you're right, it is very New Age. And sadly, there are a lot of people in Christian churches today who don't know enough doctrine, don't know enough Bible to know what she's teaching is Antichrist.
Well, and she presented herself for years as a Christian.
Yeah. And she would probably still call herself a Christian, and that she believes in the squishy yes, the squishy version of Jesus that the New Age loves to present. Oh, he's all about love. And, you know, well,
I'm
yes,
picturing
Christ
Mr. Burns
love.
Coming out yeah. and he's all glowing. And well, anyway,
that Simpsons episode. Yeah.
Exactly.
Where he was on drugs. Yeah.
Well, this gentleman down in Brazil is he's in contact with something. If he's not, you know, a charlatan,
mm-hmm.
he is in contact with something despicable.
Right. Now, I was doing a little research very, very quickly before the program tonight because I, you know,
you come home
at
from
work today
work
and I'm
and
hit
you
the
know,
ground and it's
and that's
you know,
why
cold.
Doing the daily show right. is a little difficult for you. I've got all day, but I also was didn't get to spend a whole lot of time today
right, yeah.
because we were playing host to a couple of wonderful young people, and I love having them around.
Yeah. So you can only do so much research while you're watching Legend of Zelda. But James Randi, James the Amazing Randi, the one who called us dangerous and spooky,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he had a lot to say about John of God. Randi goes real far in the other direction, of course, because he does not acknowledge publicly, anyway, the existence of the supernatural at all. So he's going to take the stance that everything that John of God does is trickery and sleight of hand. Mm-hmm. However, Randy does have experience as a stage magician, and so he does know some tricks and things, and pointed out in an article that there are some things that this guy, John of God, does that are essentially just basic showmanship, basic stage magicianship. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. But because Randy doesn't look at the spiritual aspect, he may be missing, as you say, a very important and critical aspect of this whole thing, and that is that this guy is, if he is in fact in touch with spirits, they are not of God. Some people may genuinely be healed, but the Bible tells us that the enemy will perform lying signs and wonders to turn people away from the way, the truth, and the life. It is distressing that when you look online for information about this guy, even though John of God has reportedly been active for decades now, 30 or 40 years, the only thing you can find about him, as far as any attention at all from North America, is an ABC special that was done, I think, about 2005 by reporter John Quinones, who was rather... according to the reviews of
Puff
Piece, yes, almost an infomercial for John of God. You know, he went down there and was asking for treatment for a shoulder ailment, and you know, John of God gave John Quinones some, a regimen to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to wait, do some such and so for like 2 or 3 days, and then wait 40 days for results.
Mm-hmm.
And his shoulder didn't get better, but Quinones said that it was because, well, I didn't completely follow the instructions.
Here's one of the things that bothers me about his technique. He admits that he cannot heal everybody. In fact, he says more often than not, he will tell people to go back to their own doctors. And if there's a cancer, he won't get it out necessarily. And he goes in and sends them in. They have to do the radiation anyway. But yet the people leave his casa, and they're convinced he's genuine.
Yeah.
There's something special about him. As if somehow when they leave, they have been influenced by a spirit or spirits.
It's in that regard, it's not a whole lot different from what happens at an Ernest Angley revival.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So,
well, you know, the spirits, they're going to take over however they can manage it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really creepy.
Yeah.
That is really, really creepy.
Well, there's an interview with John Quinones at BeliefNet about the special. And you, in fact, you can still find the special on John of God at ABC News. And I suspect that the interest in this guy, prompted by the Oprah Winfrey episode, has really pushed this. This was from February of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And John of God has been working for over 30 years now in central Brazil, a very remote area. It's almost literally the middle of no place.
Well, you can find him online at johnofgod.com.
Well, who'd have thought? Faith healing moves into the 21st century.
Well, exactly. Oh. Exactly. Well, taking a total left turn, I want to just revisit the missile, the contrail.
Oh, yes.
In L.A. just for a minute. And that is that one of our listeners via Facebook sent me a link to a picture that you and I haven't had a chance to look at or talk about. And it's really a diagram in the picture. A screen cap of the video that was taken by the helicopter
from KCBS, right?
And the screen cap shows a two different contrails.
Huh.
And it doesn't mean that that's exactly what it is, but the person who posted it originally, and I think it was posted to Above Top Secret, made the case that the United States tried to intercept a Chinese launch.
Hmm. Okay.
In other words, that's what appears to be a second contrail coming in. That's what that is. It's an interesting argument. It's something new. We'll try to find it at Above Top Secret and put the link in the show notes because I don't have it in front of me. It's not at Instapaper. Instapaper, by the way, if you're listening to these in the near future, you know, sometime a year or two from now, and you go to instapaper.com and these links are not there, please forgive us. We'll do our very best to make sure that everything is in the show notes and not just at Instapaper.
Good point.
Because
yes.
Well, I think we can only keep so many links there at a time, and then the old ones will start to fall off.
Right.
So I made that realization today and apologize if you're listening and for some reason Instapaper is failing you.
And by the way, we've had a couple of questions about how to use Instapaper, and it's fairly simple once you've done it once, because it's not exactly laid out in a very user-friendly way. But if you log in at instapaper.com, what you want to do is go on the right-hand side where it says Folders, and then underneath Folders it says Add Folder. You'll click that link. That'll take you to a new page, and then you will click the link that says Add Another User's Starred Items.
And then you have to type in the username.
That's right. When you click that, it will ask you the username to subscribe to. In that box, put in PID Radio, all one word, and that will then take you to the starred items, the articles that we posted for any given day. But as Sharon points out, if you're listening to this in the archive a year from now, you're not going to find these articles at Instapaper.com because we've posted a whole year's worth of stuff since then. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, our archives reach back to 2005, early 2005.
That's right.
So we've been doing this for a long, long, long time. And we pray that if we, you know, are not here.
We're the Grandma and Grandpa Walton of the podcast world.
Ah, honey.
I just got diagnosed and prescribed a pair of bifocals for the first time this week.
You did. You haven't picked them up yet, so
no.
You may not be able to see tomorrow. Taking an entire left turn away from the left coast, I have been talking about this smallpox treatment, the antiviral that SIGA has come up with, and there are a few new things. There was an article that came out today about SIGA, and the headline is SIGA comments on U.S. government survey on smallpox antiviral acquisition. This is at MarketWatch, and it's companies specializing in the development of pharmaceutical agents to combat biowarfare pathogens.
Mm-hmm.
Biowarfare pathogens. This is not an in-the-field, wild, normal acquisition of the smallpox virus. This is because we've been told.
Yeah.
It's been eradicated.
30 years ago. Yeah.
There are only two places that are known to have smallpox viral reserves, stockpiles. One is the United States.
Uh-huh.
The other one has been known to be Russia. And that was during the old Cold War.
The Soviet
War.
Union.
The
more,
Soviet
more precisely,
Union.
The Soviet
Very
Union.
Good. Thank you. The USSR.
Mm-hmm.
When they broke up, it is assumed that satellite nations may well have taken some of that supply. They may well have altered it through recombination or some other sort of genetic manipulation.
Hmm.
It may now be an entirely different animal, you might say. Or it may be in the hands of terrorists.
That's true. There's
and that could well be. I mean, that's what we're being told.
There's a fear that some of the nukes that formerly belonged to the Soviet Union had fallen into black marketeers after the breakup of the USSR.
Mm-hmm.
So why not stockpiles of other... of pathogens like not just smallpox, but you were talking before we started recording tonight about a company called Bavarian Nordic.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Which is a really interesting name.
We're
anyway.
Going to get to them.
Okay.
But in the meanwhile, SIGA, SIGA has produced an antiviral. In other words, it's a treatment. If you get smallpox, then SIGA rushes in with their antiviral treatment, which is supposed to make you better.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. government's announcement – sorry, let me finish this. The Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, a.k.a. BARDA, has announced a market survey to determine whether there is sufficient capacity among qualified small businesses to supply smallpox antiviral using the small business set-aside mechanism. This is insider talk. The U.S. government's announcement reaffirms its commitment to acquire a smallpox antiviral for the protection of the U.S. population against the material threat of a possible bioterrorism smallpox attack. This was a statement by Dr. Eric A. Rose, SIGA's chairman and CEO. SIGA is backed by one of the members of the Good Club, a multi-billionaire guy.
Mm-hmm.
And because we are seeing more and more stories about smallpox, because I Google them all the time. The last few days I have kept up on that. And SIGA is all over the news, along with the company you just mentioned.
Bavarian, yes.
Exactly.
Bavarian Nordic.
Bavarian Nordic.
Which, of course, raises images of the Illuminati and blonde aliens from outer space. So it's an interesting name.
Well, yeah. SIGA is there if you get smallpox.
Right.
Bavarian Nordic is going to keep you from getting it. It's there to stand in the gap.
Against this eradicated disease.
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. The vaccine made by Denmark-based Bavarian Nordic's Imvamune, M-V-R, is that the word that they're calling it, is made with modified Vaccinia Ankara. Ankara is the type of smallpox. A safer alternative with modified, it's a safer alternative to the cowpox vaccine that you and I, well, you probably didn't get it. Did you ever get a smallpox vaccine? Vaccination.
I don't know. Is that the one that leaves that scar on your arm?
Yes, it is.
Then I probably
didn't. They come in and they scratch it into your skin, and you get this awful scab, and your arm hurts like heck for days.
No.
And sometimes you get a little fever.
No, I didn't get that.
Well, I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably tagged. You know how the X-File was.
That's right. That's right. That's
exactly
how they put in the implant. Right.
That's right. Even the alien hybrids had them. But anyway, Imvamune is going to be the one to keep you from getting smallpox if it gets out. And they are run by a gentleman who's a member of the European Council on Foreign Relations.
Oh, wait a minute. The Council on Foreign Relations
has
a
CFR.
CFR has a European branch now.
They do.
Really?
They started in 2007, and guess who started them?
Let's see. Is it probably George Soros?
Open Society guy. Yes, George Soros.
Well,
very
he's the puppet master. Glenn Beck told us so.
Well, he is, and he put into that position, the head of that company. Let me see if I can find my little note here.
So Soros backs the company that makes the smallpox vaccine. And incidentally, I notice has also been fast-tracked for vaccine, or is working, rather, on vaccines against Ebola and the Marburg virus.
Yes, and HIV, using the same technique. What they do, they take what's called an attenuated live virus,
mm-hmm.
and they just essentially break its arms.
So it can't punch its way out of the cell again.
Exactly.
I see.
They take the genes out that allow it to replicate and punch its way out of the cell.
Viruses check in, they don't check out. Okay. Got it.
It's the Roach Motel of viruses.
See, for those of us who didn't study molecular biology in college,
give me something to hang on to, folks.
This is helpful. Okay, I can get my mind around that.
And they want to do that same technique with others. They want to break the arms of the other viruses, too. They're
so
little thugs.
These little Luca Braccia viruses. That go to work on these viruses that won't pay protection to the God virus?
Exactly. Oh, that is too funny.
Oh, well.
Well, anyway, that's what they do, and they plan on doing it with all sorts of, and ka-ching, ka-ching,
yes.
Ka-ching. And do you think that we're really going to get any protection? Probably not.
No, but you know what? This brings up this gets back to what we've been talking about with the naked body scanners. Terror is big business. Terror is huge business right now.
I know.
Soros has his hand in the company, or at least shilling for the company that is making, or one of the companies making the naked body scanners at the airports, along with other guys who have been actively involved in Homeland Security, like former DHS Secretary Chertoff.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got these guys also out there now. And who's the guy? Perelman. Perelman. whose company is working on the smallpox vaccine. Soros got a company that, and he's apparently manipulating. Now he's got somebody who's connected to the royal house of the Netherlands.
Here's the thing:
in charge of the company,
Princess Mabel of Orange Nassau. She is Queen Beatrix's daughter-in-law.
Okay, and Queen Beatrix is intimately connected with the Bilderberg Group because wasn't it her father, Prince Rainier?
She's the Queen Bee.
Yeah, who founded the Bilderberg Group back in the 50s.
Yes.
So, okay, all right. Very inbred, very tightly knit, and of course, they're the ones who are benefiting from all of this. It just like there was lots and lots of money to be made selling the antiviral against, what was it, Tamiflu, that was sold by companies were buying so much that Roche couldn't make enough.
Yeah.
To meet the demand of governments, and of course, you know, the governments were buying those for all the people who'd wind up inside the lead-lined bunkers in the case stuff really got bad, not for you and me. But it didn't matter because Tamiflu was ineffective against H5N1, the bird flu scare from about 5 years ago. Tamiflu was ineffective against H5N1 anyway.
And it, but they ramped there up. Were cases in Japan where kids who were taking it because they were teenagers
having psychotic episodes, right. Now, we took the H5N1 threat seriously, just as we were looking at the...
And it's still being, you know, played.
Right.
They've put that in there with the seasonal flu vaccine.
Right. But it's not something that we ignore, and we don't blow off the threat of these viruses, like, the odd cases of flu that Dr. Henry Nyman was reporting on out in Ukraine about a year ago. Yeah, not quite a year ago. But so we don't dismiss the threat of a global pandemic, but we're just looking at who's profiting from selling these vaccines and antiviral treatments and other things that are intended to protect us against anything that could possibly be a threat. You know, you might have a terrorist get a explosive gel onto the airplane. Okay, everybody, you need to buy these, million-dollar scanning machines.
You'll be scanned or you'll be patted down unless... You are a female Muslim. Janet Napolitano is actually considering allowing Muslim women to pat down themselves. Let's see. Seriously, I don't find anything on me.
Yeah, totally. I'm totally good for it. And the irony of all this is just as, with the smallpox vaccine, to market and big money. Think about this. Big money betting on a vaccine against a disease that's supposed to be extinct, that we're supposed to have wiped out.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you should say betting on. What do you want to bet? That there literally are commodities out there or exchanges out there that are betting on whether or not large outbreaks occur.
Well, yeah, stock exchange. I mean, seriously, if you're betting on pharmaceuticals and investing in pharmaceutical companies.
You know what? That's a good way to put it. I actually meant literally. Okay, what are the odds that, say, a third of the human race will be dead in 10 years?
Oh, you're right. There probably are. That would be called Las Vegas. There are probably betting lines in Las Vegas on things like that.
It probably is.
It's just a more gruesome version of the Deadpool.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a guy I used to work with in St. Louis that had this. He was part of a group every year that at the beginning of the year would come up with a list of people that they bet was going to die. And at the end of the year, if more of your people died than other people, I mean, it was really gruesome. Oh. And they would put money in it. It was like a horrible, morbid version of the basketball pool for March Madness.
That's terrible.
Absolutely. But, they did it every year. This group of college friends had continued doing it every year, year after year. For 10, 15 years they've been doing it or something. It was just – didn't want to ask too many questions about it because I didn't want to –
The dachshund just came out from underneath his
bacon. He's telling us we're almost at 30 minutes already. Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
He's really good.
Yeah. So anyway, just keep an eye on the money because, there is a spiritual aspect at work, but clearly the human players.
The root of all evil is the love of money.
Right.
Follow the money and you'll almost always follow the spiritual trail.
Hey, interesting development just to leave you with. Airports are not required by federal law to have the Transportation Security Administration on the premises.
Oh, really?
Sanford International Airport in Orlando is going to opt out, and they're kicking out the TSA.
Ah, we'll see what happens.
Yes, well.
Stay tuned.
Keep our eyes on that, and we'll be back tomorrow, God willing. And until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.